Africa, but I'm screaming the lyrics.
Play that one.
Bill Nye the Science Guy theme song, but I'm screaming the lyrics. That's the second one.
We can play this on our podcast because no one will come after us. We're too small.
Baby caught a pee-pee.
That's how the law works. What is that? The lyrics. What is it?
Baby caught a pee-pee.
Play that one. I want that one.
Hold on, we got it.
We gotta get through. That's
so aggressive. The microphone's like clipping like crazy too.
It's me, Baby Kata. I have a huge diarrhea.
It's too much.
Keep going, keep going. Let's get into the good part.
I can't. It's the clipping that's really getting me.
Yeah, not the lyrics.
The lyrics are fine.
Or the singing.
It's got some good rhythm, but yeah. It's just I can't deal with the clipping.
Where is she? Simmy Rubes, let's get started. Let's roll. And then our guest will just come in at some point. This is episode 4. We do have a guest. She's running late. It's a power move, I'm sure. Our guest is here. Yep, a total power move.
Yeah, no, actually, I wanted to stop and get you a Diet Coke.
Oh, my God.
Because I've listened to many of your recordings.
I already drank one today, too.
And I have a Coke Zero, and I know that wouldn't do, so.
We've been listening to ridiculous music on YouTube.
Like weird covers of
Toto's Africa.
Yeah.
What?
I know, unpopular opinion.
If you were here an hour ago, it was me talking about how that's the greatest song ever.
And how his dogs listen to it all the time.
My dogs listen to it on repeat all day.
That is strange. And I have to say, I kind of disagree.
Well,
if you were to like put it on for them, would you notice a change in behavior from your dogs?
So
do they calm down or?
Well, so first, when I leave the house, I come here, right? I don't want it to be quiet. I want there to be some noise. So the dogs feel some sense of like, there's people here, right? So when I walk in the door, I say, hey, Google, play music. And it plays whatever it plays. And I noticed that when I would say that, it started always playing Toto, Africa by Toto. Always.
Do you know that playing the same song over and over is like a form of psychological torture? You're torturing yes. your dog.
Wait, no, it gets worse.
Oh, God.
It gets worse. So I noticed they always play it. And I'm like, well, that's a song I like. So maybe it pulled from some, maybe I listened to it on YouTube and it's like, that's the only song he's ever listened to on here. He loves that song. But one day I was home and maybe I left it on when I got home and I noticed Toto Africa playing. And I was like, hey, it's a great song. That was playing when I left. And then next song comes up and it's the same song. And then it ends and another song comes up, same song. It's playing over and over and over again.
Torturing your pets.
And it would have been funnier if you like were listening to it and like half an hour later you're like, man, this is a really long cover of
yeah.
Africa by Toto. No,
yeah, but I found that every time I'm saying, hey, Google, play music, it only plays Africa by Toto. And so, yes, I've been driving them insane. And you asked if there's a difference? No, except for when I do that now they're conditioned that when I say, hey, Google, play music, they get sad because they know I'm leaving.
Or they're scared and they know this is the trauma that you're pushing on them.
They're like, he's about to make us listen to that damn song all day.
But talk about a resurgence, because that's an old song, right? They like judged it up, brought it out again. And now everyone's. Yeah. Isn't that an older song?
Yeah. It's from when I was a kid.
It's like Pavlov's dog.
Yeah. Instead of drool though, it's a tear.
Instead of like a bell.
All right. So we literally did start only because Hammer, our producer over here, has to run at a certain time. And I wanted to get some time in before he races out the door.
It's a unique way to start a show. Come on. It's fine.
It is.
Fine.
And it was funny that I could
every
call you out that
chaos,
you're doing a power play.
Well, I want to say that I'm very busy and important.
Exactly. Yes.
And it was unintentional. And honestly, I was working with a model that was running late and put
so
me
it's
late.
It's their fault.
Honestly, it is her fault. You know, those models, you can't trust them.
Can't. No. But
what was the model for?
So I do a lot of social media management for aesthetics practices and skincare companies and things like that. So she was modeling a treatment, actually. I don't know if you guys have heard of PDO Max Threads. So what they do, it actually sounds kind of barbaric because, you know, it is intense to watch. What they do is they put threads under your skin and like yank it up kind of like a zip tie. In fact, it looks quite a bit like a zip tie when they're doing it. So you have to be a very brave model. And I think she was not as brave as she thought she was going to be the day of.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. That's ridiculous. What does that do?
You know, it's like a non-surgical facelift. That's how they kind of bill it. And I mean, people do look really good after. It's just like you're awake and I'm taking video of you. It looks intense.
Yeah. All right. Well, Josie, being our guest, this is new territory because she knows the secrets of our podcast because she listened to an unedited version.
I did.
Yeah. Which unedited version?
You guys were talking about Snoop Wine just a little bit.
Oh, yeah, episode 3.
Episode 3.
Coming out. But I sent her the unedited version. And so she knows like we'll randomly just go, what are we supposed to be talking about or things like that.
But I'm a big podcast person. I listen to a lot of podcasts and plenty of them have those moments on it, which makes it, you know, more human, right?
Well, we cut them out.
I noticed that. Yeah. I heard you and I read the notes along the bottom, which was like, cut this out.
That was her. That's Sam.
That's me.
Sam, well, Josie. Like,
you
Josie,
call
Sam.
Her something different.
Sammy Rubes.
Sammy Rubes. Okay. Yeah.
My
yeah.
stage name. Yeah.
No, I feel like I know you already because I know that you love facts already. And I know you love Diet Coke. I'm a big fan already.
Yeah.
I'm honored.
And I thought Josie would be great to join us and have some fun. I knew it when we were in a meeting and she was making fun of Bryn a little bit.
Yeah.
And he didn't quite know she was making fun of him. And then she turned and just winked. And I was like, all right, this is good. This is good stuff.
True rebel fashion.
Yeah. True rebel fashion.
It's his 39th birthday today.
Who?
Bryn.
Is it?
Yeah. 39 forever.
Oh, he's 39 forever. Okay. I was like, oh, wow. Maybe he had those threads. I don't know.
But enjoy Snoop
excited.
Wine.
Are you drinking yours out of a red Solo cup?
Okay, so I knew someone would say something, but I assumed it was going to be her. I grabbed those two glasses right there. The third one was filthy. And so the red Solo cup was there. I was like, who am I trying to impress? I'll take that. And so that's why I'm drinking from red Solo cup.
Although I was promised Tito's actually to be here.
We probably have some Bird Dog whiskey up in the attic.
We do. No, we actually might have Tito's.
I'm fine.
And we might have Litchfield liquors too.
Yeah, and we have a generic Kirkland one too.
Oh yeah,
everyone loves Kirkland.
Yeah,
isn't there like a Ciroc like hidden away too?
Yeah,
we have a lot of alcohol hidden in this office.
We're an agency.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. It's very that's also very Mad Men of you guys to have you know plenty of alcohol on hand.
Yeah, but no one drinks here during the day
that we know of.
I was gonna say maybe some of those people during our meeting were drunk. Who knows?
This episode, we are talking about what do we want to talk about? Right. And you dropped a little bit of a bomb in that you've got comments. You've got commentary.
I was talking back to you guys while I was listening to them. I'm like, come on, no one said this. Like, what are you guys doing over here?
And I kind of like it. It's like, one, it's let's hear a little feedback from the audience. Right. But two, you also went a little further in that you have contrary points of view about certain topics.
That's what makes podcasts interesting, right? You guys, I actually really like how you guys work off each other, right? I really enjoyed that. But I was like, who's the naysayer here? No one. You have no naysayer. So I'm here to be the official naysayer.
All right.
Perfect.
Yeah. So actually, we talked about psychology a little bit over text, right? Mm-hmm. So marketing or not, psychology. What is going on culturally that influences the psychology of a generation? What is going on? Why is
Are you talking about like aesthetic procedures?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, number one, they're hella more accessible, right? And people talk about them a lot more. And like I would say the Kardashians were a big push towards that.
They ruin everything.
I literally remember being at my hairdresser, and I was saying like, you know, those Kardashians are so great because they're like, they're really getting out different body types, right? Because at that point, there was a very different body type that was popular. Because there's, you know, the beauty benchmark is always changing.
Yeah.
And at that time, there was a very different body type. And I remember saying to my hairdresser, like, it's so great. And my hairdresser was like, Josie, that is the fakest fake And I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, you didn't know that you can do a fake boob and fake butts. And I'm like, I knew about boobs. Everyone knew about boobs, right? But I didn't know that you could create a butt.
Yeah.
Like, did you know that? Is that something you knew?
I did not at the time. But
right. But now you know.
Now I know. But
right.
I feel like if we go back into the world of marketing, the word authenticity is every, like for years now, that just is brought up way too much, right?
Right.
And when we go into social, it's about how that fake shit is not working anymore because everyone fabricated their lives. And so that's changed how Facebook and Instagram have existed. And then mm-hmm. things like Be Real emerge in order to try to
lapse.
What?
And lapse.
This new one, in order to just truly represent you and your life and be authentic and be real. And yet then this whole aesthetic movement with Gen Z is to go the exact opposite direction.
Well, it's
and
the dichotomy. It's the we hate and love Barbie at the same time.
Right.
Dichotomy. Right? So I also think marketing is in general going towards a more authentic place, right? So like,
is it, or is it just like,
well, it's staged convincing, authenticity.
Yeah, it's convincing.
It's staged authenticity.
Like UGC content, it's not actually UGC content.
No, you're
we
like,
went here and so shot our own UGC right. content.
So it's fake authenticity, and then Gen Z's embrace an authentic fakeness.
Authentic
like, yes,
fakeness.
I have
yes,
fillers,
I have,
but I embrace it. Shut up.
But I embrace it. Shut up. But I also think that it, like, but that goes back to how feminism is different now, mm-hmm. right? Because you could say, yeah, I want to be a bad bitch. I'm going to zip tie my face or, you know.
I got to see pictures of this.
I have them. I'll show them.
Because every time you say zip tie, I'm grossed out, confused, and intrigued.
No, it is intriguing to watch these procedures be done, I will tell you.
Does it hurt?
Yeah, they take laughing gas during it. It hurts.
Jeez.
But I mean, it pains to be beautiful. You've heard that phrase, right? At the end of the Barbie movie, she puts on Birkenstocks. That's not just because, you know, it's symbolic. Those are comfortable as compared to high heels.
Yeah. You mentioned that you listened to the last episode, obviously, us talk about Barbie, and that you love Megan. We love Megan, too.
Yeah. She was fun. I really liked her, and she made a lot of really good points. And that she worked for Subway.
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys didn't ask her about Jared.
Jared?
I thought about that, after, and I was like, I bet I shouldn't ask about Jared.
Can I tell you, I was thinking about it, and I was like, I bet they thought I shouldn't ask about Jared.
Yeah.
But that's why you should have asked about, I thought, are you a rebel or what?
Well hold on. I actually thought about it.
What you're talking
There's
about.
There's a great documentary on Netflix.
But I'll explain in 1 second. I thought about that after. I remember going, oh, that would have been an interesting conversation, but maybe she didn't want to do it. And then I thought
and
about it a little
she
more.
Something.
And I think I asked her one night, we were here in an event and I had at that point a few whiskeys.
Yeah. You're brave.
And so I'm pretty sure I asked her that then.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the response, but it like came to mind. I'm like, I think I've done that actually. I think I asked her.
Is that the navigating uncertainty event?
Maybe. I don't remember.
So Jared, so you know, was their spokesperson.
Spokesperson, okay.
For years.
And
transformed their business.
He was like very heavy. And then he started eating Subway as his diet.
Oh,
and he lost
about.
A ton
yeah.
of weight. And then he went
and
around
he
visiting
things.
Schools. And then baby did some bad, bad things. And
with
children.
Yes.
And he was a dad. Anyways, there's a great documentary on Netflix about it. But I was thinking,
Does it have a great name?
We're just out here slandering the Subway name.
No, that's Subway. Okay. No, we all know about that. In fact,
yeah,
I was thinking, how did she like think about what it must have been like to do their digital marketing after the news dropped that Jared was arrested for
head PR?
When did this all happen? The Jared.
I don't know. Like I remember kind of hearing about it, but I don't know when it happened,
yeah.
But I remember hearing about it and being like, Jared, because everyone just loved Jared.
Yeah.
He was like such this like jolly, sweet
goofball.
Little man.
Yeah.
And you were like so happy that he like, he would like,
with his giant pants.
Held
up.
And then he'd be like, then I found my wife and now my world is complete with my Subway and my weight loss and my wife.
I think
children.
It was like 2015.
So she might not have been there yet.
So when did she join?
I want to say she was like, 2016.
Yeah, but still, that had to create waves.
I could be totally wrong.
That had to create like ramifications for like people.
It's
online,
still a thing.
Yeah,
it's
well, people online will like they hold on to stuff, right?
Yeah.
So she posts something like about like you know save your rappers to donate to like a book club for children mm-hmm. and people are going to be like,
Jared did.
I bet like just like Jared, but that must've been a night, whoever was doing their digital marketing then. I'm sorry. Yeah. That must've been rough.
I'm sure she did it gracefully.
I'm sure she did. I enjoyed her quite a
bit. No, I feel bad for their head of PR.
Oh, it must have been nasty.
If you want to hear more about it, there's a podcast called Business Wars, and they go into this controversy with the head of PR. Not him, but his story, like fictionalized.
Yeah.
It was great.
We, for one of our RFPs, we did a like listening sentiment analysis. They recently, like last night, announced that COVID is no longer an excused absence. So I'm getting notifications being like, we're sensing spikes in negative sentiment where everyone's like complaining about it. And I'm like, oh man, I would not want to be their head of PR right now. And I'm just sitting here, we have no like real connection to this school too. So I'm just sitting here like knowing all the drama that's happening online.
And yet that sounds like nothing compared to the Jared.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would not.
I don't know. I've been getting spikes like every couple hours. People are not happy.
But they recovered from that.
It doesn't compare.
Subway really recovered from that, though. Think about it. It's one of your favorite restaurants.
No.
It's not my favorite restaurant.
You did say, and the pickles are like crack or something like that.
It is a guilty pleasure. Sometimes I'm craving a Subway, but once or twice a year, not a favorite restaurant.
Well, the other restaurants you like are actually called Fast Casual.
Oh.
Because those are among my favorites too. Chipotle, that's...
This is funny to me because this is the first time anyone's listened to it before.
I know.
Because we recorded multiple podcasts and then we've been releasing them. And so it is funny because you're saying it and I don't remember this. Like you're like pickles. And I'm like, did you guys have a conversation?
As you say it. And I was like, that felt so like meta. Little, like it didn't seem like it was like a big deal in the podcast. And now you're bringing it up. And I'm like,
well, like, it, but isn't that,
I gotta watch what I'm saying.
Yeah. Now. But that's also the thing about all kinds of media, right? What's a little moment for you in the production turns out to be a big moment for people later. Right. So I was like, oh, that's so funny. She loves pickles. Ha. Right. And now you don't remember saying it.
So what are we doing wrong?
What are you doing wrong?
You are a content creator. You know, social media.
I also, by the way, in talking about psychology, was a therapist too. So
what?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I was a clinical social worker. So let me not get a, you know, don't think I'm a PhD, but what are you doing wrong? I don't really, honestly, I don't want to be a nerd and be like, I enjoyed it, but I did. I think if anything, if I would say anything is I am kind of, I like to stick to a topic. You may have noticed I kept bringing you back around to marketing. Did you see how I was doing that?
No.
Oh, I did that a number of times.
See, but I'm chaos, so I'm very comfortable going
anywhere.
No, but
that's what I like about you two together. I was actually thinking about this.
I've heard this before from like Bryn and BJ and everyone.
What?
That like the your chaos and like my stats.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a nice balance. There is a nice balance, right? So, and there's fun comedy moments between you guys. And I think the linchpin will be your guests, right? How do they play off both of you? How do they connect with both of you, right?
Well, because I was supposed to be a guest in the first one.
Episode one, she was the guest.
And now here she is.
Yeah, I have like you don't know this maybe, but I have like a thing for, well, you know this. I have a thing for like sound and music marketing.
Yes. You like the crunch.
Oh, do you?
She likes the crunch of Tostitos. Yeah. And then you thought she was talking about Fritos. Another moment.
I don't remember that either.
But so after we recorded the first podcast, I was just sitting there thinking to myself and I was like, I'm going to have to forcefully, but politely, like strong arm my way into this podcast, but permanently. And as I'm like sitting there trying to figure out a way to do it, he comes up to me and he's like, yo, Sammy Rubes, like, I was thinking you should host this podcast with me. And I was like, sold. So, but yeah, I was supposed to be just a guest.
Right. Well, I'm glad it stuck.
I like your impersonation of me. Yo, Sammy Rubes. That sounded like me. But yes, that's how it happened. It's
like a little bro-y.
I wanted to get this going. We've been talking about it. And so it was like, let's just go record something. I know she has interesting things to say. And she knows a lot of good stuff that I don't know. And we came down here and recorded. And yeah, it was that like, I enjoyed that. And then if you remember, I went in and Chris, our producer back here, edited the episode, sent it to me, and I listened to it in the office. And I came out and I'm like, that's good content.
That's fine.
That was good content.
He started listening because his office is like right by my office. And he started listening to it and without headphones. I was like, James, turn that off. Put on headphones or turn that off. Like, I don't want to hear that one.
With the door open.
Yeah, door wide open.
And her office, quote unquote,
It's just a table.
It's a table outside my office.
It's not even a cubicle.
It's a table outside my office. She wrote on the whiteboard behind her, Sam's office. We're talking about the things I don't do or I don't like. I'm not on social media. I don't listen to music. I'm weird.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
Weird. You don't listen to music?
Isn't that like,
you know what I love though?
Psychotic.
You know what I love? And I don't know anyone who likes this. I love maps. I will just sit and just look at maps.
Do you like paper maps or are you like the electronic?
I have amazing paper maps printed and framed in my house.
Yeah, but that's a hobby. But yeah, wait, can we go back to this music thing? Because this is bizarre.
This weirds everybody out.
This is bizarre world.
I just don't like music. I don't listen to music. I don't like it in my car. I have no interest in it. It doesn't do anything for me.
What do you listen to, NPR? Like, what do you listen to in the car?
Yes, I like NPR. I listen to podcasts. I will sit in silence before I'll turn music on.
That actually drives me crazy.
Yeah, you're making me uncomfortable, honestly.
Having to listen to the sound of my own thoughts. I can't do it.
She was playing me songs earlier, and she's like, this one is a blah, blah, blah key.
Minor and major key.
They all sounded exactly
like,
the same.
This sounds the same. I was like, minor and major keys do not sound the same.
I'm like, oh, that one's faster. She's like, no.
No.
I'm like, that one's quieter.
It's not faster.
Do you know what's interesting? I actually dated this guy once that didn't like music with lyrics in it.
That's actually not that weird.
It's a little weird. And it
it's distracted.
I don't, what?
Because I'm thinking, I don't want it to bother my thoughts. I'm the same way.
I just find that fascinating.
I'll hear the lyrics and start thinking about the lyrics. I'm like, I don't want to think about you song. I want to think about what I want to think about.
Okay, when you were a teenager, right?
Yeah.
You didn't listen to music?
I wasn't big into music. I didn't like spending money on CDs, so I just didn't really
You didn't
get
listen
into
to them.
Oh, here's a stat for it. Not a stat, but studies have shown that when you put people's coming of age music into your videos, it actually increases video ad effectiveness.
You know what? There's a theme from all of your podcasts so far that I think you need to be aware of, and it's
Sonic
nostalgia.
Nostalgia.
Sonic branding. No, I thought you were going to say that James is crazy because.
There's
but then I realized
Snoop
that
Snoop Dogg has come up a few times.
Snoop Dogg's come up, but
branding
we were talking earlier
done.
About
Barbie is nostalgia.
James committing crimes.
No, but my schizophrenia syndromes. Yeah. That's. But I realized that Chris edited them out. They did. They're not in there.
Oh.
So we were talking about this earlier while we were sitting here waiting. And it got edited out. But I think it's funny, and I'm not ashamed of it. Megan was calling me a schizophrenic and a psychopath and a sociopath because we were talking about how I don't put music on the house, right? So my house is just quiet and I like that, mm-hmm. but I hear music in the house.
Okay.
I hear it and I am like, what is going
That's
on?
That's auditory hallucinations, just
yes.
so everyone knows.
So, and I'm like trying to find it. And then I find out, oh, it's the ice machine. It's the washing machine. It's the highway that's off in the distance.
Okay, no, but that actually
And it puts
makes
it
sense.
All together. And so after they were making fun of me for a long time, I went and Googled it. And it's a sign of hearing loss, which I get because I don't have good hearing.
It's also, so our brain constantly craves like sonic patterns.
Yes, right? And that's
so,
the whole thing.
Yeah,
is
you want
it
to like
taking what it can, pieces it together and goes... Maybe it's music.
But also that makes me wonder about your sensory processing, like your auditory processing. So like, I don't know if I jumped to hearing loss, especially as someone who, you weren't going to a lot of concerts, clearly.
No, but I always have had trouble hearing. And I...
Did you do like, the beep my, test in high
Oh, I was terrible at that. I never
really?
Heard it.
Put your hand
You're
up.
You're supposed to put your hand up. I'm sitting there, I'm going, when do we start?
So what, the educational system failed you. Nobody said, hey, go get your hearing.
Well, like my dad has hearing aids, like... People in my family have had like cochlear implants. And so I know
oh, wow.
it's going to happen.
There's such a good documentary about the cochlear implant. Have you seen it? It's no. called The Sound and the Fury.
Is that the one where they have two families of like they follow the deaf children and like.
Yeah, there's more than two, but yeah.
Yeah, and they're like one child is like wants to and the parents don't want to.
Right,
yeah,
because it's deaf, like the deaf community is a culture. Mm. And they're like, you're basically.
Do you know that sign language has different. Accents based off where you're from, so how you sign.
I did not
Isn't
know
that. Isn't
that so cool? That is so cool.
Wait, do you know sign language?
No.
Oh, that was fake.
That was just me waving my hands
oh, okay.
around.
I know
There's like a thing where
language.
Like sometimes my sister and I will go to bars and we'll like pretend like we like know sign language or something and it's a fun
So you're
bit.
Just making fun of people with hearing disabilities?
Yeah, we're bullies essentially.
Yeah, clearly. Let's take this back to marketing, okay?
I was trying.
Enough chaos.
I think Chris could vouch for me and say that I tried to pull it back so many times, but you're off the wall.
I'm just,
you're hard to like,
we're just having conversations. We're having conversations.
Yeah. It's hard to keep them in check.
I tried.
I have to give him a hard look. Ooh, little angry look.
That is a hard look.
We need V from the and Chris coming out. His nickname is the Hammer. Sides.
I heard you say that. Yeah. I tried to gently, it's called redirect. I tried to gently redirect you multiple times.
But so how did you go from being a social worker to being a content creator?
All right, so that's a great question. So I didn't intend to be a content creator. I intended to always and always, always be a therapist. And I loved doing it. I went to Columbia. I was, you know, like I was so into it. I worked
the country, Sam.
The university in Manhattan. And I love doing it. But I, funnily enough, fell into this, and I will tell you how. I have a friend who does facials and stuff, and she was like, hey, do me a favor, come model for me. I'm going to do these weird facials to you, and there are all kinds of weird things. But I was like, if it's free, I'm there, I'll come there, right? Mm-hmm. So I would go, and I was working with intense outpatient program children who are like, you're super sick, but you're right under hospitalization sick. Mm. So it's like a little, it's kind of intense work, right?
Right.
And it would weigh on me a lot. Like I would think about, I have trouble turning my brain off. You may know something about that. So I have trouble turning my brain off. So I would go do that all day. And then I'd be thinking about these kids like all the time. Like, oh my God, I wonder, I hope that one's safe and that one. And I hope their parents listen to me about doing this, whatever. So I would have trouble turning my brain off about that. I could have just went and worked with the worried well, right? The wealthy people, the housewives who are wish their husband would come home earlier or whatever. And that would have been great, but I wouldn't have. I need to be like intellectually engaged or I don't want to play.
Right.
So I was going to my friend for these weirdo facials. She did all kinds of weird stuff to me, like this electronic one, like where you get zapped. That was spicy.
Do you think do those actually work or is it like a placebo type thing?
Okay, so now I can tell you. Then I was like, girl, what are you doing to me? You're stapling. Some of them felt like she was stapling my face. I was like, girl, come on. But now that I'm there for taking the before and after pictures and have to put them together for things, I could tell you that some of them really do. Like I'm a big fan of Morpheus and Silphermex machines. They do a really good job. But so how I got into this was I was there and I was joking with like her medical director. And I was like, making jokes with them and like saying that she was stapling my face and that I was, you know, but I'm here for it. Mm. And they were like, you know, Josie, we just fired our social media person and we think you would be so funny and so good at this. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing like at all. Like I took psychology and like marketing classes in college and like, you know, like I watched Mad Men. So I was like, you know, maybe I could do this. Right. And I was like, you know what, honestly though, these content creators, like half of them are like high school girls. So I think I'm good. She offered me this job doing it. And honestly, at first I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Oh, the heck I'm doing. And
no, we can leave swear here.
Oh, we can. Leave okay.
Yeah. Because right. There's correlation between creativity and intelligence.
I heard you say that, but then someone said, fuck. And someone said, no, don't say that.
No, I think it'd be.
That was before. But back to your point about like social media being just like a girl with an iPhone. That's actually something that there's a lot of research on about how like social media managers historically feel like their bosses don't understand it. 56% say that their bosses don't understand social media and 66% have too many responsibilities. So like,
okay. So kind I would of, agree with both yeah, of those.
It's kind of evolved from like, now? What it was like, what it could be, because the platforms were just starting out. Like it wasn't like we're seeing declines in organic reach and there's a lot more saturation that you need to break through. Like you need to put in a lot more time. And we did a B2B go to market and we found that on average, like a social journey is 5 months long. It's 217% longer than referral and 155% longer than paid media. And then the research also indicated that like a consumer's journey starting on social, like A, they're not necessarily in market, and B, social media is not going to be the first channel you touch. But that's like,
what do you mean social media is not going to be the first?
So they're going to go from socials to like a blog or to like another channel. It's not they're not going to convert immediately from socials.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
But so what it used to be was it could be a girl with an iPhone, but now you need to devote a lot of time and resources.
This is what I do now. So yeah, like, you know. I believe in it.
When James is like, she needs a team. I was like, hell yeah, she needs a team.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something. Honestly, so now all of that transpired. And then I started doing social media with them, and then more people, and then more people, and then more people. And then I happened to come upon a skincare brand that's very new and very innovative, and it's amazing. And it's so cool. And when I first started, they literally hired me replacing a college student with an iPhone, literally. And they were kind of like, oh, I don't know what this Josie girl is going to do. And they totally, so most of it is remote, right? So they didn't see the magic. Well, I also wasn't in a physical space with them. Mm-hmm. And they kind of like, they would just see me like a little part of me on a camera and be like, oh, like Josie with your blonde hair. Like, you know, so they'd be like, Josie is kind of stupid. Like you could just tell the way they talked to me.
It's not taken seriously.
Right. No, the way they talked to me was like, Josie's.
I've described this to James as like the armpit of digital marketing.
No, it, and totally.
I know that bummed me out. You spend so much time in it. And I was like, oh my God, Sam's in a fucking hole.
Yeah, she hates socials. I do.
Honestly, when I started, they really didn't take me seriously at all. And I like at one point had to like put my banana on the table and be like, hey, I went to Columbia, you guys. Like time to like listen up, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny because like the whole brand turned around kind of like, I'm not going to say it's like a little delay did it, but I was like, no, I'm just kidding. But like seriously, the social media like picked up a lot of steam. No, it was
Fenty
huge.
Or like there are a lot of brands who find their audience through social media.
Can we consider dating app social media? Because I would, yeah.
Well, how are it's you defining social. Social media?
It's social.
It's social. You have a profile. You're connecting with other people. How could we not define it as social media?
But it's not like, like your profile isn't public. You don't have a feed. People can't go and view your profile.
You definitely have a feed. Isn't that maybe that not where you're sharing things?
You don't have a personal feed.
Well, on there's Facebook dating.
Facebook. I can't say I've used
Facebook. I have not also used it. But when I you have to have okay, so you have to have
Facebook
a personal
dating
account
is,
to
control. Yeah, Facebook dating would be like Facebook and then like an extension of Facebook. Like
I don't know. I've never used it, but so to manage social media accounts, I didn't even have a Facebook. I had to create one to then be it's so annoying. To then manage business.
Every day I come into work and go, I hate Meta.
You did that today.
Meta is appalling, but I will say, like, it pops up and they're like, come on, join our date, and I'm like, what's going on that? Like, I kind
sometimes
of want to
sometimes I accidentally click it and I'm like, ooh, I don't even like that I like,
wait,
did that
I'm
by accident.
Air quotations, accidentally.
Mm. No, I do. It's like, welcome to Facebook dating.
No,
like,
I've actually
old guys.
Done that.
Is that what it is?
Well, it's like, click here to get started. And I'm like, nope, I swipe
no,
out.
No, it has
exit
to
the
be.
App.
I mean,
you know,
yeah,
you never
know
what Gen Z's up to.
Yeah, but you know what skews that though? Are like the kids who are like 12 and their parents are like, yeah, you could stay in
or
touch
just
with nanny
really
and Papa.
Lame, really lame Gen Z millennials.
I don't know. Cause I feel like there's a lot of like kids on there that stay in touch with nanny and Papa through Facebook. You know what I mean? So I think that
it's
kind
18
of
18 to 34.
Are they including now all of Meta in that? Or
22.6% is in the 18 to 24 age bracket and 29.6% is in the 25 to 34. I think that's like, that probably what like, are 18 to 34 year olds like the most active on Facebook? Are we seeing them actively liking and engaging?
Or are they just
that activity,
part of it?
At least from my personal like standpoint, I'm seeing it coming from like older audiences.
But you know what another thing that Facebook is used for, and this might skew it, is in academic programs, there's often like a, hey, join this Facebook group to
Facebook
follow.
Facebook groups, yeah.
Yeah, so like I know in some of my academic programs, they were like, you have to be a part of our Facebook group. And I was like, ugh, right? But
my high school clubs would use it as like a...
So like maybe that's how it's skewing. But what I do know is every older relative I have, every older person I know is like, Facebook though, I love Facebook.
I've seen small businesses like marketing on
it's a
Facebook
great
marketplace though.
It's actually great.
Like it'll
honestly
be like $10 for a cake and you're like, this is a really strange place for you to be marketing, but I respect it. I respect the grind.
But honestly, in terms of skincare that is directed at an older population, where I get most of my pings, unbelievably, Facebook. They be clicking that link. And I think it's because like, you know, like you have older people on Instagram now and TikTok too, but like when you know, when you're thinking about a platform, you're thinking of like, who am I trying to talk to? Right. Mm-hmm. Who am I trying to talk to? Who do I want to engage with? Who will really value my product? And the Facebook community really likes anti-aging creams.
There's actually also studies though that show that women are starting to care about aging younger and younger, which is really interesting. So maybe you'll see a shift on Instagram.
No, I, you know, honestly, like I've been I think I talked about this in the meeting. I've been shifting some of it, right? Because in the aesthetics, they talk about like rejuvenation, right? You're already old and you want to look younger. But there's something called prejuvenation, right? Where you start in your 20s. I mean, I'm sure you know, like Kylie Jenner, and they do Botox and all kinds of stuff. And it's like, you know, like my initial reaction was like, why are you doing that? Right. But it's part of this prejuvenation where like before you age, you make sure you don't make that frown line. Before you age, you make sure your skin has all the nutrients to stay young and maintain that youthfulness.
There's also a thing where it's like starting to accept that like aging is a natural process of life.
Oh yeah.
Actually like
it's pro aging.
Yeah, it's pro aging. And then that ties.
That's what I'm going for.
Pro aging. Mm-hmm. That ties into psychodermatology, which is the connection between mind and skin. So when you are embarrassed, you blush, or when you're stressed, you get a pimple. The two are very, very closely linked, and studies have shown that when you have like a positive attitude towards your skin, it actually heals faster and improves faster. So, it's all connected.
It's all connected, man. We're all connected.
I like you say here and here, you pointed at your gut and then your face.
Well, I meant my brain.
Oh, okay.
But I'm wearing these giant Princess Leia headphones. Yeah. So
I think the headphones are like the best accessory ever.
Just headphones in general, or these?
All headphones.
Really? What were those headphones that was good marketing? Beats.
Beats is a lifestyle, bro. I read about that in a book where there
brilliant
was,
marketing.
Okay, so one professor did a study to like just within his class, and they found that the young kids preferred music with like bass boosted because a lot of them were using
Beats,
and Beats is known to boost bass, and like bass is like clubbing and like exciting and like blah blah blah.
Well, the way they completely marketed Beats, they were like,
"Here's it's lifestyle,
some,
though."
Yeah, but here's some like 1980s, 1970s looking headphones. We were all using earbuds, right? When before Beats came out, we're all using earbuds, and then they're like, "No, bigger, larger, more in your face." And
they're gonna start getting smaller again.
Yeah, and then we were like, "Hell yeah, I want to walk around with a boombox on my shoulder too."
Yeah, well, that was great marketing. In the NFL, they had so players weren't allowed to wear them during warmups, and Beats. I don't remember if this is true. Maybe this is what I heard years ago, but Beats paid for the fines for players like Cam Newton to wear them out on the field.
That is also authentic marketing, right? Mm-hmm. Where they're like, oh, he wants to wear it. We're going to pay the...
We'll pay the fine. Nike did that with like Michael
rebellious
Jordan.
Rebellious marketing, too.
Yeah. But I kind of think, and I think this goes back to Barbie, and it goes back to the Snoop thing, and I think we could tie it all together and say, like, there's kind of this authenticity. Like, we're no longer, like, forced to sit in front of a TV and watch commercials, right? Mm. Or we're happen to be reading a magazine and we pop upon an ad, right? Now we have to engage with our ads and our marketing in a way where we're choosing to view it, right? There are very few situations where people are sitting at home and watching a movie or a TV show with an ad in it.
I think that's all, like, something I see is missed a lot in clients, too, is that, like, you're marketing to people like
who are on social media when you have like enjoyment.
A follower isn't just a random number. It is a person that you're marketing towards.
All right. Chris gave us the, he has to go. He has an event he has to go.
I hope work. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Oh yeah. Bye.
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 Just bye.
Yeah.
Bye.